The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 21st day of August 2024. And I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this pledge, third day of the pledge week. And tonight, folks, back there in the phone booth, poor old Eric is by himself. We're two men short tonight, so we're going to ask for you folks to have some patience with us. It might take us a little longer. And here we have in the glass cage, we keep him in there, our producer. And, well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know, he does a great job. Well, what can I say? Sometimes I sit here, look at the look on his face, because he don't know what I'm going to say. All right.
I'm waiting in anticipation.
All right.
Yeah,
there you,
nervous anticipation.
Right. There you go. Uh-huh. And, of course, you heard the cackles, and that is our studio Martin, Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. So you better get back there and help the fellows. They're short tonight.
Goodness sakes.
So bear with us tonight, folks. Give us some... A little patience. We need all the help we can get. And this is Pledge Week, and I want to say, last night, Maureen from Illinois never got in on the board. It was too late, but she pledged $50. Thank you, Maureen. And came in today. So far, already today, we've had Sarah Lee pledges $1,000. Thank you. And Tony and Dale already came in $300. Thank you very, very much. And, We need it. And, of course, you heard the voice that was none other than the legendary Pastor Parson Joe Larson.
Hey, and you forgot to say the engineer's name while you were getting ready to think of something kind of semi-cruel and humorous to call him.
It's Wednesday, and Wednesdays around here he doesn't have a name.
That's true.
We just say, hey, you, right?
Hey, you, okay.
All right. Or Yahoo. Hey, it's either hey you or yeah you. All right. Yeah, no, that was the up and rising radio star, none other than the guy with a smile. His name is Style, right?
I guess that's what they call me.
Yeah, there you go. And anyhow, you know what I'm going to do, Joe? I'm going to start out. Bob in New Jersey pledges $35. Thank you, Bob. I'm going to start out with with a prayer, but first I'll give the phone number so that while we're praying, folks can call in. Pledge Week, this is Pledge Week. We need to help. We need your help at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask the folks out there to pray with us, because this is an extremely critical time. Not just for our nation, but in all of time. Right now, we see Antichrist rising. And Joe, that's what I'm going to be preaching on this week. We're going to be taking a close look at the realities that the vast majority of people are totally oblivious to. It's gone right over their head. They're out there in the fog, and we're going to take a close look because God's Word, the Bible, the accuracy is perfect. The accuracy is absolutely perfect. So you folks out there all over the country, listen, let us join with me. You know, there's power in prayer. We're up against evil, dark evil forces right now, folks. Let me tell you, you've never seen more, I don't think, evil and wickedness come together in one place than at this convention. I think it would run Sodom and Gomorrah a good match, don't you think, Joe?
Under the guise of joy and happiness and laughter and, you know, respect and all kind of, they're using every word that is the direct opposite of what they really are. It is a dog and pony show. It is lies, distortion, illusion, you name it. They are putting it off and putting on a great, they should be in Hollywood.
Well, you know, that one clip with Bernie Sanders, I couldn't listen to it. I could listen to it just a few, so much. He told one lie after another lie.
After another, yeah. It was continual.
Right, like in your face here. These people have no fear of God. They have no fear of God. Anyhow, so.
Well, that's what the Bible said. They would have no fear, no knowledge, no love, no fear of him.
So, folks out there, join with me in this prayer, if you would. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, you know who's listening out there. We have a lot of people. Your people out there, Lord, are calling upon your name. Your people out there, many of them are hurting. Many of them are hurting. They can't afford even groceries now. Lord God, we're looking around. We're seeing what the wickedness, this wickedness of today, on this Antichrist world system, how they hate the children, how these ungodly, how these extremely wicked people want to give abortions as free. They want to celebrate death. Lord, I know if they could get away with it, if they right now, if the time was right, and probably once the rapture takes place and the tribulation starts, if these people could be sacrificing children live on TV worldwide, they would do it. They're evil to the bone, Lord. They are evil to the bone. Their women have become unclean. Every ungodly thing they do, killing of children, lying, fornication, their men have become feminine, effeminized. We look at Tampon 10 or Timmy, what a poor excuse for a man, Lord. But this is what the wicked are embracing. They hate you, God. They hate you. They hate the children. They hate us, Lord. And what I'm asking, Father God, is I'm asking you, Lord, you know that you are a righteous and a holy God. And I know you're a merciful, merciful God. And I know you came preaching repentance. And, Lord, so I'm asking, Lord, for the children's sake, for the children's sake, and for the elderly's sake, I'm asking, Lord, that those that refuse to repent, that you would remove them. Lord, those that want this death, that they embrace death, that they promote death. And those, too, Lord, and the television stations, those anchors there that are out there promoting death, Lord, and on those talk shows, Lord, I would ask, Father God, Lord, if they refuse to repent, that you would visit that death like you did in the Old Testament, like you did all through it, that you would visit that death like you did to Herod, that you would visit that death right back upon their own heads. Lord, I pray for the people out there, all of those, every one of those, Lord, that have helped us try to continue to bring the truth. We're here, Lord. We're not here. We're not here making money. We're not getting rich for sure. We're here, Lord, because the cause is a righteous cause, because it's the right thing to do, to warn the wicked, and to warn the people about the wicked out there. Lord, you've told us when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn, and they are. The people mourn because of the wickedness out there. And so, Father God, I would ask you to, again, bless those, all of those that have blessed this ministry, that have stayed with us all of these years. And Lord God, I just would thank you for all of those, that you would bless them as they've blessed us. And Lord, for those out there that are listening that have never, Lord, that you might, Lord God, encourage those that have never donated, who've listened and listened, and we get all of those letters from these people but have never supported us, Lord, that you might encourage them to support us, that we can continue. We're just asking this, Lord, that you use us to the ultimate, to the utmost, until the time that you come back, to be a light in the darkness, to be the salt and the light, to expose the wickedness, and to stand fast against the gates of hell. That's what we're asking you to do, to use us to your glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I pray that people prayed that prayer with me out there. All right.
Well, the prissy preacher sure didn't.
No, they're afraid. They're just afraid. That's the problem. The Bible says the righteous are
supposed to be meek and mild and, you know, just inoffensive or unoffensive. I can't think which it is, but, you know, we're not supposed to stir up the waters, cause any dissension, anger, you know.
Well,
I don't know where they found that in Scripture, but, I remember Jesus braiding a whip, driving money changers out of the temple, turning over, stone tables, threatening people. I thought that's called righteous anger.
Well, again, Joe, the prissy preachers haven't repented. In other words, the Bible tells you very clearly that judgment begins in the house of God, and in that house, in the pulpit. And the pastors, the Bible says, the righteous are as bold as lions. They're as bold as lions. And here, they want to avoid doing the hard things. And so not only will they avoid doing the hard things, they'll avoid doing the dangerous things, the things that are not convenient. But not only will they do that, not only will their treasures that they place up be wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, silver, and precious stone, but they'll criticize. You know, over the years, I've gotten more criticism, I think, from the prissy preachers, or maybe not more, but it's almost as much from some of those prissy preachers.
Yeah, some of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe that was one and the same, Pastor.
Yeah. Anyhow, by the way, too, you mentioned we mentioned there, things are not all that peaceful, great. There's a lot of dissension there taking place in Chicago, folks. What's taking place is at that convention. So believe me, it's nothing like the fake news media is trying to make it appear. And so, and I think most of you by now have figured that one out. All right, Dionysio, Dionysio pledges $20. Thank you, Dionysio. All right, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Folks, we only have tonight and two more nights left to raise enough money, and this is a very critical time, because if we don't raise the money we need, then we will be, the end of September will be the last days that we're on the radio, and with exception maybe of a few stations, but that would be it, okay, from coast to coast. So more than likely, the station you're listening to us on right now won't be there. So we do need to hear from you. This is a critical time. It's been a long, hard run. But I can honestly say that in 50 years, we've never compromised. Not one time did we ever stand down. We've always stood our ground.
Or back off from telling the truth.
Right. And we've been under attack many times, but it's only by God's grace. You know, when you look around, you see Steve Bannon, and you've seen all of these other fellows getting taken down off the, not off the, just off the radio, but put in jail, okay? And we know that there's been attempts to do that to me, okay? Judge Marcus had that all planned up. He was in Dan Caceres, the corrupt judge and prosecutor. They had plans to put me away to get me off the air, but God intervened on that. And just like, you know, with Donald Trump, you know, they try to use lawfare against me. And so, like they've done so many, like they're doing with our January Sixers. These are the Christian patriots that are being mistreated. And so, and that's
and
why.
We're going to have a special story to tell tomorrow night about January 6th. Something just broke, and there's not time to get the clip and everything. So we're going to have a special thing on January 6th tomorrow, and it involves Kamala Harris.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was involved in that up to her eyeballs. You're absolutely right.
The story's out now. There's some truth out, and people, we're going to do a clip on it.
Yep. She is a George Soros Antichrist persecutor. But let's go to the scriptures. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 12, where
James,
we left off.
A preacher and pastor who told them what they needed to hear.
And that was James. So let's start, read 17 through 19, Joe.
But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode.
All right, so here now, when Peter had just got sprung from prison by the Lord himself.
Right, by the angel of the Lord.
Right. And
there's
so
Christophany in the New Testament, folks.
Right, so virtually the chains fell off of Peter, the doors opened by themselves, and God made sure that the guards didn't see them leave. And so here now, when he was referred to, he said, go show these things unto James and then to the brethren, and he departed. Why do you think he was telling them to go show this to James, first of all? Because,
go ahead.
Well, James was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem.
Right.
And so he would have been the one to, you know, they were looking to him. You know, his words were law there. And so here, he had, now, there was a lot of confusion about James, the son of Zebedee. This James is the pastor of the church. He's the James who's the half-brother of the Lord himself, the Lord's brother.
Right, who denied his deity until after the resurrection.
By this time, the James, the son of Zebedee, had already been martyred by Herod. And so in verses 20 through 25, there's a warning there for Obama. If you watch this, they're literally worshiping Obama, these people at this, these Democrats, these Communist Party, these Antichrist people. There in Chicago, they're literally worshiping Obama. Remember when Obama was in what he did there in Colorado, when he had the pillars made when he was running. You know what I'm talking about, and I'm
right. The symbolic pillars, and we talked about it on the radio, but I can't remember now what they were symbolic of.
Well, the temple where they sacrificed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was referred to, actually literally referred to as the seat of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he had that where he stood upon on the steps. Remember, they had brought that from Germany, they had built one in Germany and brought it over here just for that case for him. And remember what happened when he was there, when he stood on the steps and he had those boot-looking generals there with him. But as he stood there, remember the fly kept landing on his lip.
Right. Kept coming back.
And then...
I remember his words, "I am the one you've been waiting for. I am the one I've been waiting for."
Absolutely.
Well, now, if that isn't an esoteric message, I've never heard one.
Well, it is, but it's the way he said it with the pause, too.
Yeah,
I am.
Pause.
Yeah.
And
the
that
one.
Long pause. It was telling. That's a tell.
And so there, but anyhow, so they were literally worshiping him. If you've seen this, so go ahead, pick it up and read verse 20 through 25.
And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god, and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
Well,
the word of God. Oh, stop right there.
Yeah, with the history has it there that it was his birthday, that Herod came out on his birthday. They had a big celebration, and he was in a birthday suit made of silver, and when in the sunlight, as he sat upon, reflecting off him, was his bright light. And they referred to him as a god. "You're not a man, you're a god." It's the voice of a god. And he should have done what at that point right there? Could have saved his life.
He could have said, "No, I'm just the king."
Well, he would have had to rent his garment. He should have rent that.
Oh, rent the garment. Yeah, that was the thing in the day. But the first thing was denial that, "No, I am not God, you know, a god." And you said the garment was made of what?
Silver.
Silver.
They said, yeah, that's what legend has it. And so when the sunlight reflected off of it, that he shone like, remember this, what happens when the presence of God, you have Shekinah glory, where you have this light, everything is lit, this bright light, and that's... Remember,
and that silver reflects like that, especially if it were a lot of little threads and things. Yeah, it would have reflected a lot of light.
Yeah, and so the Apostle Paul found out about that on the road to Damascus, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
He had a rude, what we call a rude awakening.
You're not kidding. And he saw the light. Yep, he really saw the light. Okay, we're coming up to a break. And we'll be back right after this. Oh, wait a minute. We got to give the phone numbers out. That's right. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. When we come back from this break, either Style or Joe are supposed to say something profound. I'm not sure yet, but... We'll find out.
We'll work on it.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order. The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests. We'll be right back.
who meet with mine, they glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made up to you by people you don't know. Thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like petty thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies.
All right, blinded by the lies. Hey, breaking. Robert F. Kennedy, you know, we talked about this here. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate says they're considering dropping out and endorsing Donald Trump. Well, the DNC planted insiders in their campaign, and there's more. Nicola Shannon also told Impact Theory, we were sabotaged. We were sabotaged during the conversation that she posted Tuesday morning. You know, there are two options. We're looking at the one of staying and forming a new party, but we run the risk of Kamala Harris and Wall's presidency because we draw votes from Trump. We draw more votes from Trump. Or we will walk right down right now and join the forces with Donald Trump. And, you know, we walk away from that to explain to our base that why we're making this decision. Well,
the follow-up news is he's going to address America Friday about the present historical moment and his path forward. His press secretary posted the announcement about this Friday event, and it came after Nicole Shanahan, his running mate, said she fully supports a role for Kennedy in the future Trump administration. and made a big hint that they could end our campaign and back Trump. And Trump was asked a question, and he said, yeah, if he got an endorsement like that, he might consider putting Robert Kennedy in his cabinet somewhere, and he's, you know, in the government somewhere, a job for him. So a lot's happening, and that's big news because this is going to be a tight election, and Kennedy has enough votes that if he were just to back out, most of his people would, you know, they're worried that he'd take more votes away from Trump. So his votes with giving his support behind Trump might really make a difference in this election.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have him because, in my opinion, you know, I mean, compared to, like, you know, the only way he looks good to me, he's nothing like his uncle, you know, JFK.
No.
But the only way he looks good to me, and even his father was pro-life. JFK mm-hmm. was pro-life. And to me, you know, I just got to tell you, either pro-life or you're low-life. And you get that right from God's Word, the Bible, right there. It's right in there. If you are pro-abortion, if you're for killing children, you're an abomination. And not only that, you're unclean.
And we really don't need that in the new administration, do we?
Right. We see the mindset is out there. You hear from people. Come on, why don't you kind of unlax a little bit? Times have changed. We're not living back in those days, you know, and society has changed. Well, and that may be so, and it is, but God hasn't.
God hasn't. He's eternal. He doesn't change. He hasn't changed. He isn't going to change, and the people better get used to it.
And guess who gets the last word, Joe?
He will.
That's right.
Always.
All righty.
You said you wanted, you know.
Wait, first of all, I got to go to Diane in Massachusetts, pledges $250. Barbara in Lakewood pledges $500. And Gene in Ohio pledges $300. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We're off and running, yeah. Oh, you said you wanted something profound.
Yeah.
I can do
I've been waiting for years and years for you to profound me.
Am I going to have to bleep this? I'm going to have to bleep this, aren't I?
All right.
No. All right, here's the historical profound. I have two of them. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people.
Well,
and I can prove it. Okay? We've talked about this before, but you go way back to March 31st, 1977. It was in a Dutch newspaper. It published an interview with Palestinian Liberation Organization Executive Committee member Zahir Mohsin, and this is what he said. The Palestinian people does not exist. The creation of a Palestinian state is only a means for continuing our Arab struggle against the state of Israel for our Arab unity. In reality today, there is no difference between Jordanians, Palestinians, Syrians, Lebanese. Only for a political and tactical reasons do we speak about the existence of a Palestinian people. Since Arab national interests demand that we post the existence, Arab national interests demand that we post the existence of a distinct Palestinian people to oppose Zionism. And he goes on, and then back in 1993, the same day that Arafat signed the Declaration of Principles on the White House lawn there, he explained his actions on the Jordanian TV. He said, quote, this is Yasser Arafat, 1973, since we cannot defeat Israel in war, we do this in stages. We take any and every territory that we can of Palestine, that was what there was called by the English, and establish a sovereignty there, and we use it as a springboard to take more land. When the time comes, we can get the Arab nations to join us for the final blow against Israel. There's more, but those two are pretty good sources. you can believe the enemy when they come out and say what they're up to. We want to destroy the state of Israel. that was quite clear for the final blow against Israel. And the Palestinian peoples do not exist. They're basically all this mixture of Arabs from all these different Arab countries. There you have a radical revelation, Pastor.
Okay, I'm going to out-profound you.
Out-profound me? Uh-oh.
That's right, because, you see, I've done something more. I've gone further, way further back
okay.
Into the Bible, and you'll find out that Palestine was a city.
Right.
Was a city. But, you see, it's just like belonging to the nation of Cleveland. If they say, well, what country are you from? I say, well, I'm from the nation of Cleveland. People would look at me strange, right?
Well, they do, but that's specific.
Yes, they do. They do anyhow.
Look at all of us. Remember, God calls us
peculiar
people.
All right. That's right. Okay. And
but
so
right, that was my next follow-up, but this was something that you didn't have to be biblical literate to understand. When the Arab people themselves said there is no Palestinian people, that's about as clear as it gets to the average person out there, right?
Right. Well, we know that, but you see, it's the propaganda, you know, machine there in the media. No matter what lie, and see, in this, folks, there aren't any journalists out there anymore, and it's a there's a shamelessness, and again, you know, no matter what George Soros tells them or whatever those Barack Obama says, this is what you're going to say. They will do it. There's no shame in these people. And you know, they, like they were talking about Tampon Tim being such a loving, sweet, and kind human being. He is. This guy is unbelievably wicked. I mean, from the, you know, he from taking babies that have survived abortion, let them sit there and die. The man is, you know, where it comes to mutilating little children, you know, with these so-called trans surgeries. This man, you know, where it comes to LGBTQ sodomy, he even, you know, he even applauded what happened on October 7th, you know, when in Israel. He applauded that. This man is as wicked gets. And here they're talking about what a kind and wonderful man he is.
Well, that's why we call it a dog and pony show. It's nothing but hype, lies. It's a Hollywood production. It's not the truth. And I had one more I was going to add. Do you remember Golda Meir?
Oh, yeah.
Prime Minister of Israel. She came out and said, there is no such thing as a Palestinian people. And she went and quoted from the, you know, Torah, which,
yep,
you know, taken part of what we have in the Old Testament, right? So she quoted the same thing you did. And that was back quite a few years when she first became Prime Minister of Israel. So, you know, and if I can find this stuff out here in the middle of Missouri on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, you would think that there'd be some other reporters somewhere in that vast network of people with all the computers and newsrooms and people all over the world. Folks, what it takes is a little bit of work, a little bit of effort to find the truth. But it is there, right, Pastor?
Well, you have to be looking for the truth, and they're not.
Oh, that's the secret. I knew there had to be a secret to it.
Yeah.
You have to be looking for it, right?
I know those things. That's right.
Well, alrighty. I kind of did, but I thought I'd give you the, you know, let you have that line.
Rose in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Rose. All right, we have some rapid things to go through. Stampede of Rhinos. Here are the Republicans speaking at night, too. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you had the rhinos come out. These are traitors. These are people that have cost us. You know, sometimes, the you know, they're more revulsive, the rhinos, than even the hardcore communists themselves. And,
because they always were liberals. They just ran as Republicans to get elected in an area where they thought it'd be easier to win a victory or it would be more beneficial to the party. What it is people who are carrying the mantle of deceit. They are deceivers. So, you know, is a deceiver, a traitor, or just a liar? You know, I don't know.
They're both. Right? They're both.
They're both.
Yeah. They're betrayers. And so, you know, I wanted to say something real quick that just came to my mind. You know, we have these signs that we made up years ago, and the signs are for political, and it's a sign of a jackass. It's a jackass, and he's looking back on his backside. It's a hammer and sickle, and it says, follow me. And so we put those in the Communist Party headquarters, and they didn't care for it. Well, there, out in Geauga County, you have, right where the Communist Party headquarters are, Bill, with Newberry Printing, he's literally 6 inches. He's on the other side of the wall of the Communist Party headquarters. And Bill is bold. He puts in his window because they've got all that pro-death, women's rights, you know, to choose all of that, and reproductive rights. Well, he's got a big picture of the pro-life, and then he's got that sign that I just told you about. And on that sign, there's a picture of a pretty little baby girl. And she said, the Democrats didn't get me. And it just drove him nuts. They just begged him to take that out, and he wouldn't do it. Instead, what he did is he put up, I got him a great big poster of Donald Trump. And he put that big poster of Donald Trump dressed like a patriot up in his window. And
fighting back, that's what people need to do. There's a good example, right?
Absolutely, we need. Can you imagine, you know, you were talking, what if the pastors had that kind of grit? What if the pastors had that kind of courage? See,
we wouldn't be in the mess we're in.
That's right. We wouldn't have 150 million dead babies if the pastors had had courage, if they had stood up and you know, did what they were supposed to have done. They failed. They failed God over and over. And
well,
this,
when they're silent, that's called what? Implied consent.
Yep.
And so some of them joined and pushed the issue, and others, just by their silence, basically gave their consent. And that is a sin.
In the book of Isaiah 56, they talk about it. They were like dumb dogs, too afraid to bark.
To bark, yeah. I want to go back to a man, Marcus Tullius Cicero, clear back in Rome. The more laws, the less justice. And his greatest quote, I believe, is this: a nation can survive its fools, even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep within the hearts of men. That's the Democrat Party. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. When you said rhinos right there, we could put rhino on that definition.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those that you had, it was Adam Kissinger is one of those rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you had Stephanie Grisham. She was one of Trump's aides. She's turned communist. Olivia Troyer is another one that's gone that way, along with former Georgia Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan. You know, these people, and John Giles, the mayor of Mesa, Arizona, these people are traitors. They should have the big T on them, you know.
Yeah, where what they used to call the scarlet letter, only today it should be the T. And I've got one more from Cicero. We've been listening to speeches. Some of them I couldn't stand to hear all of it. You and I were talking about that. Here's a quote for those leaders of the Democrat Party. Do not blame Caesar. blame the people of Rome, who have so enthusiastically acclaimed and adored him, Obama maybe, and rejoiced in their loss of freedom and danced in his path and given him triumphal processions. Blame the people who hail him when he speaks in the forum of the new, wonderful, good society, which shall now be Rome, America, maybe, throw in there, interpreted to mean more money, more ease, more security, and more living fatly at the expense of the industrious. Oh, doesn't that also hit the Democrat Party right on the head, huh?
Yep. I've got to give the numbers out. It's 888-281-1110, folks, and that's the call in and kind of have some patience. We're really shorthanded tonight out there, but they'll get to you. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. The other line is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And so we're standing by there waiting for you. It's a very critical time for us right here. And so you want to hear something, Joe?
I'm open.
Left is what, you know, we still haven't gotten anything profound from
Style. Mr. Style?
You didn't hear me do it? It must have been bleeped out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, bleeped out. I thought maybe you couldn't come up with anything to match mine.
Okay. He's working on it, okay.
Okay. We'll let him work.
All right. Leftist Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear calls for a member of J.D. Vance's family to be raped and forced to give birth. Well, you see, well, you and I know that it would have been a woman to do that. These people like him, they're not sure that if it would have been a woman, they don't know whether or not making give birth either. But anyhow, to make him go through this, Vance responds with fire. In other words, because J.D. Vance is taking a pro-life position, this guy, this Andy Beshear, this repulsive, cowardly man, you know, any man, any male that wants, first of all, he's not a man. Any male that is for abortion, for killing innocent children is not a man. He's an abomination. Democrats always find creative ways to sink to new lows when it comes to rhetoric. And Democratic Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear went straight to the depths of hell this morning to make a disturbing statement about Senator J.D. Vance, Republican of Ohio, and his families. The Gateway Pundit reported day one at the Democratic National Convention, the DNC, dirty, nasty, well, anyhow, dirty, nasty convention in Chicago was told a catastrophe with Hamas protesters breaking through barriers, several speakers screaming like banshees, and Joe Biden melting down on stage as expected. Beshear gives a speech on Monday evening, piling on the disaster of celebrating abortion on demand. He equated the killing of unborn children with a freedom while slamming Troop and Vance for previous statements they made in support of abortion restrictions. Here is the person Kentucky voters chose to reelect instead of voting for a pro-Trump conservative Republican Daniel Cameron. You know, it's just unbelievable. These people, the problem I think, Joe, out there is, well, we know it is biblical literacy. They've forgotten God. And, you know, the Bible says that all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. They'll be turned into hell, won't they?
That's exactly the way it was written, and that is truth.
Lisa in Ohio pledges 150. Cameron in Connecticut pledges 150. Thank you, thank you. We got to give those numbers out again. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Right now, Joe, we've got less than an hour to for the rest of this night, and then just two more nights this week. But anyhow, we have numbers don't lie. Women thrived under Trump, suffered under Harris. This is an article by Tyler Durden, okay? And so, of the countless lies about Kamala Harris perpetrated by Democrats and their loyal stenographers in the mainstream media, one of the most outrageous and egregious is that Kamala Harris' presidency will deliver historic economic opportunity for working women. Well, maybe the prostitutes, that's, you know, they're for legalizing prostitution. And so, unfortunately, for these desperate Democrats attempting to erase publicly available data, numbers tell us the exact opposite story. Kamala Harris and Joe Obama Biden saddled women with the largest pay cut, inflation crisis, tax hikes, and economic crash so far this country or this century has ever seen. Whereas President Trump delivered the greatest economic boost for American women of any modern day president. There you go. You had real average weekly earnings increased under Trump 8.2% under President Trump, and they decreased 3.9% under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The unemployment rate for women overall, for black women in particular, reached a record low during President Trump's term in 2019. And here it goes on to say, and the workforce participation gap between men and women shrank to its narrowest in history. President Trump's economy made history with the most women in the workforce ever. And that's out of Zero Hedge.
Right. Well, if you look, everything that they're claiming really is diametrically opposed to the truth. They are anything bad, they're blaming Trump. He's getting all the blame, and yet everything that they're doing wrong, they're blaming him. They're using that, you know, old communist method. And
always accuse the opposition of doing what you're doing.
Right, accuse them of doing what you're doing. So they're trying to steal an election, so what are they? Oh, Trump's going to try and steal the election. I mean, you go down the list, everything that so far that I've heard. But what's fantastic is they keep talking about our democracy, and we are a constitutional republic. We have a democratic form of government within the confines of the constitutional republic. Daniel Webster, the great defender of the Constitution, said to this, "Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster, and what happened once in 6,000 years may never happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world."
All righty. Well, we are running up against the clock. I want to say 888-281-1110. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.